One, the artist. The holographic image blinked out of existence, leaving Drake's bunk dark and lonely in comparison. Communicating with the ever-growing Bruce via holograph helped soothe the pangs of regret for a few moments, although not wholly. At times like this, pretending to be in the same room as him back in V-True's home only left him empty and yearning to be physically present instead of virtually. What kind of father was he? The sting of remembering his own father's absence hung heavily over him. Trying to escape his own past had only led him right back to where he swore he'd never be. "Hey, how's the kid?" Zara leaned against the doorframe, red hair pulled back into a messy bun, and the loose-fitting flight suit clinging to her narrow frame. "Oh, hey Z, he's great." They'd spent enough time together that Drake knew she'd see right through it. Still, both of them were dealing with their own struggles and losses. "I know you miss him, Dre. It'll get better. Right?" She sidled up next to him on his bed, the warmth of her hand on his knee taking him by surprise. Although they'd been involved since the battle, Drake still wasn't sure how to feel about it. At one time, Zara was their enemy, working for the highest bidder and trying to end Valencia's life. Now she was there on his bed, trying to comfort him. Although Drake wasn't a kid anymore, he'd also avoided most human contact, including romantic relationships. Her fingers danced along his body, up to his chin, turning him to face her. Drake took the kiss in stride, noting the gentle burning in his stomach and endorphin rush, even though it wasn't enough to wipe away the tumult happening inside him. "You need to lighten up, Dre," she said. "I know, Z, it's difficult though. You don't understand what it's like. To lose someone?" "No, I don't think I've lost Bruce. V-True has enough people around who'll take care of him while we're out here." Even if those people didn't approve of Drake, they listened to V-True, who insisted on treating Drake like Bruce's true father. "The flashes are happening more frequently. What's happening inside my mind is immense. I can sense them getting closer. There's a dark cloud approaching. That's what we're doing though, right? We're heading back to Terra to meet with officials and see if we can convince them to do something." "They won't," he said. "The extremists have too much power within the Terran governor now. Dre, with all this evidence we've gathered these last few months, it has to mean something, right? Or am I heading to a planet where there's still a price on my head because the last time I set foot there, I blew up a news network and got into a firefight with the captain for nothing?" "You'll be fine, Z. I promise you. It's just no amount of evidence will be enough for them." The discovery of buried monoliths in Gral space felt monumental in recent months, with immense power emanating from them. They were markers, found buried on moons on the fringes of Gral civilization, unmarked and indestructible, just another link between the Gral and these aliens. A power that only helped amplify his own senses. Valencia believed in this meeting, which was why he agreed to it. But this was a path to nowhere. "Is it? Can you see the future of this one?" she asked. "It doesn't really work that way, you know that." "I thought the monoliths helped you see more?" "They do, but there are so many strands, so many possibilities. This strand we're following has so many branches and possibilities, it's unclear." "Must suck to see the future and exist outside of known time and space while simultaneously existing in a fixed point, eh?" she joked. "Oh, shut up." Drake blushed and jabbed his elbow into her side. Although Zara was a few years older than him and had been through enough trauma for multiple lifetimes, she remained inexperienced in dealing with other people, deflecting to joking around when things got tense. "You know I'm always afraid you have some stellar insight into whatever this is between us, and that's why you're afraid to get too close." "No, that's not it at all," he said. "I'm not some freak. I can't just disengage and see everything. If I could, couldn't I just go back in time and fix everything before it happened? I've never been with anyone before, especially not like you, so I—" "It's okay, Dre. I know. We're going slow. Slow isn't something I'm used to. In fact, it's sorta nice." She nestled herself against Drake's shoulder, their hands wrapped together and his heart pounding in his chest. Intimate contact like this remained alien and exciting to him, proof that whatever power and understanding of the universe he'd gained, it was still a poor substitute for lived experiences. After his tumultuous childhood, Drake remained uncomfortable with concepts like love and sexuality. Those concepts were wrapped up in his childhood traumas and were inseparable. Finding comfort in the arms of someone like Zara, who he knew was a good person and had just made horrific choices, only complicated things further, as did his basic understanding of the fluidity of his own sexuality. He was jealous of Valencia, who knew who she was and who she liked, turning into the Skid and falling hard and fast for the Sentinel, or at least Emma. Without knowing it was coming, they dozed off on his bunk together, Dre awakening a few hours later alone, although his bed was still warm. His arm smacked against the wall with a thud when he stretched out, Dre recoiling and shaking off the pain. Ever since everything went down, the crew looked at him differently, like he was some sort of god instead of what he truly was, a 20-something self-loathing artist who missed his surrogate child and whose first girlfriend was an assassin for hire with plenty of blood on her hands. Drake was in well over his head in every aspect of his life. Everything was quiet aboard the Tristero, the clock showing that it was 2:32 a.m. Terran Standard Time. Zara had most likely returned to her own bunk to finish sleeping, maybe even tinkering more with the ship's embedded AI on her project to disentangle the Triss from Tetra, her old ship's advanced AI they'd uploaded into the ship's computer before Zara's old ship where Tetra's core resided had exploded. Although he did his best to not reach out too far around the crew, it was impossible not to feel the sadness Zara felt over the loss of her friend, in her determination to find a way to return her to a somewhat sentient state. A lot had changed for Drake, including Drake himself, since he had first boarded that derelict ship and discovered Bruce. Still, Drake remained withdrawn and stuck to his quarters during the time everyone else was active, especially now. While it was his idea, having additional crewmates only made the ship feel more claustrophobic. The core of the crew remained the same, with Valencia, Becca, and Gentar the only family he had in the universe. The other two were different and more difficult to pin down, with Daytar a malevolent force, a veritable yin to his own yang, who had ventured on a different path after the death of his own father. Drake chose non-violence while Daytar chose destruction, even though both of their warrior fathers had left them equally wounded in life. Drake blamed himself for some of Daytar's problems, knowing not to voice that aloud to receive a lecture from Valencia or chiding from Becca. Daytar and he had shared a mind though, a bond torn from Daytar, leaving him a husk of himself and remaining embedded in Drake's very essence. A vision had shown Drake Daytar's importance in the battles ahead. The crew just had to trust him. Zara was, well, Zara. The losses she'd experienced made it so she fit right in alongside the crew of the Tristero. It was just that they hadn't forgotten the crimes she'd committed against them. Instead, Drake had to do his best to sell her to them as a travel companion, knowing they'd spared her and attempted to save her ship's AI after she'd been responsible for the death of their dear friend, Gint, something they'd never forget and she never stopped apologizing for. During quiet times, Drake liked to venture out into the cockpit, knowing it was empty and he could sit and stare off into the vast reaches of space. If he focused, he could reach out into the void, plucking at the strands that bound time and space together and travel to any point of future or past. Sometimes he just stared off into the void in the blinking lights, understanding just how vast and expansive the universe was, teeming with life unlike most humans or Gral could ever understand. "You're still up?" Becca's voice made him jump. "Oh yeah," he said. "I just woke up and wanted to sit and watch the stars. Heard your girl go back to her room earlier. You guys have a fight or something?" "Nah," he said. "She's still used to being alone and slinks off after I fall asleep. It's fine." "Is it though?" Becca asked. This wasn't the first time she'd laid into him for his relationship with her. He knew it was her being like a big sister to him and looking out for him, but after all he'd been through, he could make his own decisions. "Can we not do this right now?" he asked. "It's not like you'll listen to me anyway." "Becca, please. It's not like that." "Not like what, Dre?" she snapped. "Not like you're cozying up with some human supremacist who tried to kill all of us and actually killed Gint?" Is that what it's not like? You don't know her like I do. You can't see what I've seen about her. Yeah, I forgot. The all-powerful and all-knowing Dre over here finally gets his first-hand job and loses whatever sense he had. Drake turned a deep shade of red and slumped against the co-pilot's chair, turning away from her. Although he knew Zara differently, understood the depths of her as a person and the mistakes she had made, trying to convince the rest was an impossible task. They all saw her as something very different, and the burgeoning relationship between Drake and her only made them doubt his intuition even more. "You know it's not like that," he said. "Not like what, Dre? We're worried about you. That's not just some girl, that's a woman and a killer. I know what it's like to be like her, cut off from everyone, thinking it's me against the galaxy." "What about your sister?" he asked. "We didn't always get along. This is new stuff, Dre. You know that. I need you guys to trust me." "That's the thing, Dre. We do trust you. Would we be doing all of this if we didn't? Think about it. You've absorbed some wild god alien powers. The Terran governor was somehow funding a human supremacist movement using that tech to build a secret fleet of warships, and now we're gonna go confront these same people in some bid to stave off an invasion from these aliens. Think about that. We're trusting you a lot here. We just don't like the bitch is all." "Don't call her that, please," Drake said. "Fine, but you know what I mean. I don't trust her, Dre." "Then trust me, please." "I'm trusting you, but I want you to be careful. That's all. She's dangerous, and you're playing with fire. You may be whatever you are now, that doesn't mean you aren't still Dre. We all love you, kid. Just want to keep you safe is all." "I understand." "Good. Look, we've got a long day tomorrow when we get to Terra, you should get some more rest." "What about you?" Ever since Drake returned to the Tristero, it was hard to notice he wasn't the only one who had changed. Becca was more responsible and weary than she was before, less cavalier, although her landings were still rough. "I'm good." Becca paused for a moment, letting out a sigh. "The last time we were there, they caught us with our guard down. That was on me, when I was in charge, and I'm not gonna let that happen again. I'm just making sure we've got a plan." "What about Gentar?" he asked. "Gen helped me come up with it. I'm just mulling it over some more, making sure I don't mess up this time." "You'll make a great captain of your own someday, Beck," he said. "Don't go and get mushy on me now, Dre. Go on, get some rest. I'll hit the hay in a few minutes. You know Terra is gonna suck." "I know." This was merely a feeling on his part, although a strong one. Returning there wasn't a popular choice considering the new ties to the human supremacists and large parts of the Terran government, but it was important to try. "We'll do the best we can." "Your girlfriend's still a wanted criminal there?" Beck asked a question Dre knew she already had an answer for. "Probably. I'm sure it'll be fine.